Father, we just want to thank you for helping us to dwell in you. We go to where you are. Thank you, Lord, that we lay down every care, every concern. We enter through the veil, through the blood, and through the door. And we dwell in the courts of heaven, where you have given us free access every day. Father, we thank you for that rarefied air of heaven. And we thank you that we are synchronized with the very heartbeat of heaven, with the very frequency of God's love emanating out of our body. We thank you, Lord God, that we are so filled with light and with glory that every person that comes within a perimeter around us is healed, is delivered, and is set free. Lord, thank you for giving us the glory that you gave Adam and Eve in the garden. Thank you for clothing us with that glory. Thank you for sandwiching us in to your love, being in us, through us, and around us. Father, we thank you, God, that we belong to you. We are united with Christ, and we are one in spirit with him and with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. We invite you to take over the rest of this service, to take over our lives. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. It's amazing how the presence of God can flow through the television set, how the Word of God can transcend even the natural realm. And so there's a verse that says in Psalm 126, because this is the season that we're in, and it says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, all the peoples will see the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for them. And we are filled with joy. Lord, we thank you, God, for restoring our fortunes like the streams in Negev, which is a desert in Israel, which would have a river that would be reborn in minutes. And all of a sudden, it would be a raging river. The finances of God are getting ready to be released in such a tremendous way. It's going to be like a bomb went off. It's going to be like a bomb of finances. It's going to be so great, so magnificent. It's going to be jaw-dropping, totally inspiring. And people are going to be weeping because they are going to be completely set free of all debt and all bondage, and their dreams are going to come to pass. So I just want to encourage you to get that mindset of prosperity inside of you, so that when the wealth comes, you don't have a poverty mindset and lose it. Because what is ever inside of you, you will automatically reset back to that amount that you're comfortable with. And I tell you today, without a doubt, there are millionaires in this room, and the Lord wants you to believe it and to renew your mind that you are a king and you are a priest. Mount Hebron belongs to the children of the Most High God. The seed of Christ are the children of Abraham. You are grafted into the vine of blessings of Abraham. Isaac and Jacob is yours. And it says in Genesis 26:20, Isaac sowed and he reaped the same year 100-fold. And the nations around him were like, what is going on with him? It was jaw-dropping. Jaw-dropping. And it says, and his finances continued to grow and multiply until he became a wealthy man. We are clothed with the prosperity of God. And we receive the riches of heaven from God's right hand of power, because Deuteronomy 8:18 says he gives us the power to get wealth. We are in birthing position. And the Lord says, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. God is raising up the Josephs in this end day. And just like the calling, the original calling on this church, our pastor saw two hearts, a red heart and a golden heart. The red heart for the love of the Father and the compassion of God, and the gold heart standing for the riches and the prosperity of heaven. And we prophesy and decree that a Christian will buy one of the major television networks and publish the true news of God. That Christians will take the mountain of finance back again. That Christians will take the mountain of media back again. And Christians will take the mountain of business and commerce back again. There, we are in transition. It's like we are like in this in-between stage where I saw a vision in the prayer room praying on Tuesday morning, and we were lifting up the Constitution. Tammy said, let's lift up this Constitution. And as we were praying about this Constitution that our pastors wrote, I saw the government of heaven drop like symbolically on top of our government. And it superimposed itself so that the very molecules in that government became one with the government of heaven. And whenever you get superimposed, whichever is stronger, whichever is healthier, that's what's going to take over. It's going to be a takeover. God is getting ready to do a takeover on this earth. And the government of heaven will be established on earth. Jesus said, pray to his disciples. He said, when he asked him to pray, what to pray? He said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That crown represents the kingly authority. It represents the riches of heaven. And we are getting ready to walk in the greatest season and the greatest harvest. The harvest is going to be so huge. And just like that basket that Carlos explains about in Zechariah, and the woman is in the basket, the evil woman, and the basket is carried away for a period of time. And the kingdom of heaven is established on this earth. And we are forerunners, and we're going to walk in it. Apostles were messengers. They carried the good news of the kingdom of God. And everywhere they went, they demonstrated the kingdom of God. Everywhere they went, the sick were healed. The deaf could hear. The blind could see. The demonized were set free. And there was no lack among them. There was no lack, and love abounded. And that is us. And that is this Father's house. Let's just call this that twice blessed anointing of Genesis 26:20, like Pastor Chuck has been teaching about how the reaper caught up with the sower, that there's so much harvest, that there's so much abundance. We are the seed of Abraham. The blessings given to Abraham have been given to us, and we receive the promises of the Spirit by faith. Attach your faith to the Word of God. And Father, we just thank you, Lord God. We just speak and release a harvest blessing upon every household here. And from Psalm 126, Father, we ask for that jaw dropping, open mouth joy rejoicing harvest to come forth in Jesus' mighty name.
Glory to God. Turn the Bibles to Revelation 3. I want to talk about the crown, the way the Lord spoke to me yesterday. The crown is a wealth transference. It's far more, the dispensation of the crown is far more that. It's actually a government that was actually foreshadowed by Solomon. Everything you saw with Solomon, the foreshadowing of this glory that will be upon his church, except it won't be one Solomon. It'll be hundreds of thousands bearing this kind of glory. And he speaks of this in Revelation 3, when he said, I set before you an open door, and he that hath the key to the house of David, I'm going to open this house again. But it's going to be open from a place, the New Testament, of a glory that is to come. But it's going to be open in the Spirit. And he opens this door to this dispensation that is right around the corner from us right now. But for us, it's attainable now. Amen. And that's what our faith is reaching into now. Praise God, the dispensation has to come. Your faith can reach. Abraham's faith did. David's faith reached into ours. The Canaanite woman reached into something that belonged to her. You can reach. Your faith has no boundaries. See, God doesn't put boundary on faith. Praise God, as long as you're out there with his word, you'll be there. When he said the glory of this latter-day house will be greater than the former. And that was speaking of Solomon's day. And he goes, I set before you this door into this, what I call now the dispensation of the crown, which we've seen, the white horse, the whole thing. And what he started speaking to me about yesterday was the glory that would accompany this crown. He said, it's not just going to be a wealth transference and I'm going to empower my people with wealth, but I'm going to empower my people, not just one. I'm going to empower many, a body of believers. But they're going to be empowered more by the glory that will accompany this crown. And he began to show me, it took me back into Solomon's day. I want to take you back there a little bit today, because go to Haggai chapter 2. Because he specifically references the glory. Of course, he's speaking to Zerubbabel, Joshua here, this prophetic generation that came out of Babylon under the reign of Cyrus. Hallelujah. We're under the reign of Cyrus now. we're all about to come out of Babylon. There's some forerunners got to come out first. Praise God. Amen. Forerunners got to go in through that door and come out and access. And it's a big access gate. Tonight I started walking out there with him. It's pretty surreal. I'm back here now. But God, the glory that's in this realm. And he began to speak to me. He said, I'm not just sending a crown. I'm accompanying the crown with what will mark the crown is the glory of God. Now, the crown represents the whole house of David. If you look at David and Solomon's house, it was a house of a 24/7 priesthood. It was a house of salvation. All the kings, and I'll show you one of them tonight, the queens of the earth were coming in to hear and see the glory of God. They were seeing the manifest glory of God. They were hearing wisdom they'd never heard before. They were seeing the manifestation of God. There was a 24-hour priesthood, 4,000 Levites ministering around the clock, 288 ministers under the Asaph government. He led the worship of heaven. All of this was a continuous. There was arts. There was poetry. It was a kind of a renaissance in a way of the Spirit of God. Nobody had seen anything like this. Nobody had witnessed anything like this. David put down all rule and authority. He put Mammon down completely. He had defeated six nations before he handed this crown over to Solomon, and Solomon began to pray. We're going to look at his prayer tonight, but he began this reign before his fall. It was a foreshadowing of the glory that will come upon the final church. And God will put Mammon down again. Amen. You can't reign like this. Solomon ruled over all of the earth's resources. Solomon, Jerusalem was the trading mart of the nations. Before Jerusalem fall, Jerusalem was the New York Stock Exchange times 10. It was all set up there. And after Solomon's fall, it went to Tyre. And the devil then called himself the king of Tyre. He only counterfeits what God does. He never even did that until God did it. Amen. But when God did it, he goes, I want that now. After Solomon's fall, that wealth funneled into Tyre, and he began called himself the king of Tyre, and it became the trading mart of the nations. Before it was Jerusalem under Solomon, under the wisdom. It was a reign of wisdom and omnipresent wisdom. Solomon had access to the Banah wisdom of God, and when he wrote the book of Proverbs, wisdom was writing that book through Solomon. But she was with him, and he had this incredible relationship with wisdom, which is the Holy Spirit, which is the seven spirits of God. Proverbs 7, 8, and 9. So here's the word of the Lord, Haggai 2, verse 6. And thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I'll shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and dry land. I'll shake all nations. This is a financial shaking. This is soon to come. You're soon going to see this happen. A financial shaking of the nations. What will be shaken is the fiat currency system will be shaken, and God's going to set in his system. Praise God. He goes, I'll shake all nations, the sea and dry land, and I'll shake all nations. The treasures of all nations will come in. The King James says desire, but it's actually treasures shall come in, and I'll fill this house with glory. Say, I'll fill it with glory. So it won't just be the silver's mine, the gold is mine. He marks that as his. And the glory of this latter house will be greater than the former, saith the Lord. He said, I'll fill this house with glory. See the glory? See the glory that was upon Solomon's life ministry. He was a king and a priest. Solomon would go and administrate as a priest, but he's also king. There was glory that accompanied him, manifest glory. And God has said, I'm going to do this again in the last days, but the glory of the latter day house is going to be greater than Solomon's day. And I was laying here yesterday. He kept talking to me about the glory. And I went in the throne room of governments, but I'd been before under that series, Benjamin. And he said, it's all going to come out from this room, and the glory is going to fill the whole earth out of this. It's all my people are going to learn to access, but the glory is going to come out. And when the crown comes, it will come with the glory. And that glory is what Peter, James, and John saw when they were awakened, and they saw the manifest glory of the Lord. And they actually saw, he called it the majestic glory. They saw him as the king, the second coming glory, this king of kings. And he said, we were with him on the mountain. We saw, we were eyewitness of his majesty when he received from honor and glory from his father. When we heard the voice from the majestic, say the majestic glory. And they were all caught up in it. The two witnesses were there in the glory. And then Peter, James, and John end up entering in. So you see a whole group of people were caught up in that. There was like five of them with Christ in the Father's glory, in the majestic glory, which says whole groups can come in. Amen. And they can come in whether it belongs to their jurisdiction or dispensation, because they were entering in something they never had access to. They weren't the generation of the crown we are, but they witnessed it. Amen. They went in and saw it as eyewitnesses, and they were clothed in it. And Matthew, when he gave this account, he says, there's some of you standing here who will not taste of death till you see the Son of Man. Say, see the Son of Man coming in the glory of his Father. He goes, you won't taste death. And 6 days later, they were caught up, and he called it the glory of the Father. And the Spirit of the Lord was laying down. He says, the glory of the Father is going to accompany this crown. The Father's coming out from heaven will be with his people. And Pastor Chuck and I start talking about this today, just like there was with Moses. The Father was there in the glory with Moses. The Father's ministry was in that tabernacle. The Father was in there. He was with them walking through that wilderness. And they got so used to the glory of the Father. They got so used to signs, miracles, and wonders. It was just common everyday experience for them. But you remember that God, they really got upset that time, and God said, listen, I will send my angel, I'll send my hornets, they'll go, you go into the promise, I'm going to fulfill my word to you, but I'm not going with you, because I'm ticked off at you. But you go, I'll fulfill my word, my hornets will go, they'll drive everything out. And then Moses said, no. If you don't go with us, we're not going. Moses knew God well enough to change his mind. Moses knew how to change God the Father's mind. God the Father was sharing his heart. He was upset. And Moses changed his mind. He says, no, you have to go with us. You have to be with us. And he changed his mind. I mean, Moses went from God, I'm going to send you without me, just go, my hornets will be with you, till no. And he goes, okay, I'll go with you. He changed his mind, and then Moses kept going. Well, then show me your glory. If you're going to go with us, then show me the glory. I mean, Moses kept going, and God didn't stop him. I mean, right then you should have just stopped right there. It's like, okay, fine, we got him. He's with us. He has agreed to keep going with us. Praise God. No, Moses kept going. Show me the glory. If I have found faith, you found grace in my sight, Moses, I'm going with you. If I have found grace in your sight, then show me your glory. Moses, he didn't slap Moses around and said, hey man, come on. You're pushing it, boy. No, he ended up seeing the glory of God. He gets caught up in the glory, and he goes back and sees the rear reward of God and sees the glory of the beginnings. It's amazing. That's the way we have to know God in this hour, this kind of glory that was with them. And see, he was with Solomon like this, and this glory like this. He goes, the glory of this latter day house will be greater even than that day. If you would, go to 1 Kings chapter 8. Now this is Solomon. He's inherited the throne. David, he's inherited this crown. He said, then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes and chief of the fathers and chief of Israel unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the city of David, which is Zion. So they're bringing up the ark, and they bring it in. Verse 5 says, and King Solomon, all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him, were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord into its place, and into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. Isn't that awesome? Now drop down to verse 10 for sake of time. And it came to pass, so they're bringing in the ark of God, they're coronating Jerusalem, they're coronating Solomon, they're coronating all this. And it came to pass when the priests were coming out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. Say it, filled the house of the Lord. God's promised this generation's glory is going to be greater than this one. And so the priest could not stand the minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Isn't that awesome? And then spake Solomon, and the Lord said he would dwell in the thick darkness, and I've surely built thee a house to dwell in, and I settled the place for thee to abide in forever. And the king turned his face about and blessed the congregation of Israel. He begins to pray, and he says, Father, if a stranger comes into this house, honor their prayers, so they may know you're the true and living God. And king, and said, all the kings of the earth came to hear, and all the peoples of the earth came. I mean, Jerusalem and the glory in Solomon was the place to be. They all came. There was glory emanating out from this place. There was glory emanating out of the priesthood. There was wisdom. There was poetry. There were psalms. There was worship 24 hours. There was commerce, kingdom commerce. The kingdom of God had come down into the earth, and the manifest glory was there with it. Amen. Now, go to chapter 10. Because this is what happened with this crown that's coming. Listen, if wealth is the only thing that crown produces, it corrupts. It's coming with the glory of the Father. He's going to accompany the crown. He's going to accompany us. He's going to be with us. He's going to ride with us. He's going to walk with us. His glory is going to be with us. His love and his glory and the manifest glory of God. The majesty of heaven will be with us. You'll feel the majesty of heaven. People will feel the majestic glory of God upon them. They'll see the majestic glory. They'll know this is a people. These are people who are not of the earth. They're going to know there's a bridal company of people, and the glory will be on them. And even the hardest of people will see, I don't know what's up with that person, but there is something on them. And it will be heavenly. Amen. It won't be degenerating and stirring up a gift so we can minister. It'll be weighty glory that will be with us. It'll be in our services. It'll be with us in the marketplace. It'll be with us in our homes. The manifest glory will be with us because God the Father wants to be with us. And he'll accompany the crown. Isn't that glorious? As I was laying here, he said, it's all about the glory. He said, the glory will be far greater, son, than the wealth. The glory, you'll be caught up in it. It won't be like you have ministered before in the wilderness. It's the promised land of the manifest glory of the Father. And he's with you. He's going to be with us. Say, with us all the time. Be with us in our services. Be with us in our speech. He'll be with us in our decisions. You'll feel that warmth that you're feeling it right now. The warmth of heaven will be with you. The warmth of the Father will be with you. He's very endearing. His warmth is very endearing. His grace, you'll be exuding the grace of the Father. Your words will be filled with grace. Your countenance will be filled with grace. So he's talking about this glory that was on then. And remember, he's prophesying our day, which has not been fulfilled yet, because the church received a definite glory upon them for the building of the foundation of the temple. But they did not receive this shaking of the nations and the silver and the gold coming into the house. This is for our day. Amen. This is the day of the kings of the earth. The bridal company of kings and priests that will reign in the earth with God. I don't know how long we're going to reign. It won't matter because every day is going to be glorious. Every day that we reign with him will be glorious until we're caught up with him in glory. Amen. Then the two witnesses get to come down and smoke some of these people. Fry them. Right now we're in a dispensation of grace. They're going to judgment, you know. The rest of the people left, they're going to get their ungodly world that they want. There's a whole slew of people that want an ungodly world, and they're going to get one without God. And those witnesses are going to be there. 1 Kings 10. When the queen of Sheba heard, this is queen, heathen queen, heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She came into Jerusalem with a very great train with camels that bear spices, very much gold, precious stone. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her of all her questions. And there was not anything hidden from the king, which he told her not. He poured it out to her. And when the queen of Sheba seeing all of Solomon's wisdom and the house that he built. And Chronicles says when she saw the wisdom and the prosperity, the glorious throne, his ivory throne, and the meat of his table. I mean, he laid the king's table of Solomon was laid out. I did a study one time. It took me 3.5 months. I took all of Solomon's day and I brought it into modern day wealth back then. And it was back then, early 90s, it was about $30,000 a day just for his royal house. That was just to care the provisions for the royal house. There was no, like Pastor Chuck was telling me when he was on his cruise, there's no shortage of wealth. Never has been. It's just in whose hands it is. Amen. The meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendants. See, all this was under this glory. See, Queen of Sheba never seen like this because everything was being orchestrated by the glory of God. And the glory, when the glory is there, there's order. There's incredible order and beauty and the cupbearers and the ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord. He said there was no spirit left in her. She was undone. She was caught up in this glory that they were speaking of in chapter 8. She got caught up in this and she heard his wisdom and she lost it. And she said in Chronicles, the wisdom and the prosperity, the half was only told to me. She came with a $60 million offering of gold. And she was totally undone by what she saw. She'd never seen anything like it. Nobody had ever seen anything like it. God's glory came down into the earth. It was more than just a display of wealth. It was a display of the glory of God. Everybody was being seized in the glory. The glory is far different than an anointing because an anointing comes and goes and it's with measure, but the glory is atmospheric. It touches and everybody encounters it, comes under the influence of it. And what's in that atmosphere gets into the people. If that atmosphere is a king, priest, government, and the government of God is in that glory, people come into that government, they get seized by it. It activates them. It activates their gift. It was activating the priesthood. It was activating business. It was activating anybody and everyone. It was activating even the lost were getting saved by the droves. Everybody that was coming in the midst of this glory was getting activated because that's what the glory will do. It activates you. It activates who you are at the very core and brings you up into the fullness expression of God, and the full expression of Christ comes. You can't do that with mere words. Even anointings can only take us so far, but the glory can take us into fullness because it's present and we're dwelling in it and it's dwelling in us and it gets in us. Verse 6, and she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in my own land of the facts of the acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believe not the word. She goes, I didn't believe it when it came to me until I came and mine eyes have now seen it. Or she says right here, behold, the half was not told me for thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceeding the fame which I heard. She goes, when I heard it, I didn't even believe it until I got here. And not only do I believe it, I'm undone by it. It exceeded all my expectations. See, that's what the glory does. It exceeds the expectation. Amen? Because the glory can meet the expectation and exceed the expectation. The anointings may not always exceed the expectation because it's limited. But the glory will exceed the expectation. Amen? That's what we want. The crown with the manifest glory of the Father coming with it. Verse 10, and she gave to the king 120 talents of gold. So you can take 120 times about 75 pounds and you can run the math of how much that is. That's what she brought to him. When you're dropping that kind of money down, you're not very easily impressed. Here's what the glory does. It can impress those that can't be impressed. The anointing does impress, but the glory can overtake you. The glory can exceed your expectation, and the glory can leave you undone. Like she said, there's no spirit left in me. That's what the glory does. And that's what the glory will do day in. Those that were dwelling in Jerusalem were living. They were in the midst of this glory day in and day out. And all the peoples of the earth were constantly coming in. It was something to behold how Solomon lost that. Oh, my. God came down in the earth and set his government up into the earth. He set his government up. And that's what God's going to do again. He'll set up pockets of his governments all over the world. But he's going to see the expression of his government, the expression of the kingdom of God, the expression of the anointing without measure, the expression of people coming into a wholeness of identity when they come into the glory of God and they grow up under the identity of the glory. They come up identity of the light and identity of the love of the Father. All of a sudden, one day they don't know God and 6 months later they're coming full age because they're living in the kingdom of God in the earth. They're coming up in their all their being is being drawn up into the glory and they're growing up under the meat that's being distributed in the midst of that glory. Where the true glory is, there'll be meat. Amen. There's the sandbox glory where there is no meat. And then there's the weighty glory. Amen. The weighty glory will mature people quickly. They won't stay in the sandbox and they won't act like immature people. They'll start maturing very fastly and quickly. Their senses will be exercised to discern both good and evil, and they'll start discerning things quickly. Amen? They start growing up, seeing, understanding things very quickly. That's what the glory does. So all that's coming with a crown, and add the seven eyes of omnipresent omniscience, which God's going to give us access to omnipresent omniscience. What all that's going to look like? I mean, we're going to be an incredible bridal company of believers walking in the manifest glory of God with the crown of God and being able to meet needs that you dreamed before. You were just in a dream state and vision state. Well, if I ever could do this, all of a sudden you can just meet the need. Meet the need, meet the need, meet the need. Start operating and functioning at a whole nother level. Amen. Because the whole idea of what God's doing with the wealth transference, he's given more than enough. Amen? And the people of God are not going to sit on this. They're going to function as stewards of the Lord. So once again, I'm going to do all this. I'm going to do this for the glory. He was talking about this kind of glory. The glory of this latter-day house will be greater than this day. Can you imagine greater? The impact that Solomon had on the generation he lived in, the David and Solomon generation, has hardly been an impact like that, probably since the days of the book of Acts. Has the impact been on the kings and queens of the earth? The Bible says all the kings of the earth came into this. So there was wisdom, and there was glory, and there was worship, and there was commerce. There was manifest glory. This is what's coming. The accompanying glory of the crown, the fullness, the clothing of glory, being clothed in the light of God. You'll see and feel the glory. Sharon started talking. I saw the glory come on her. So I knew she was about to say something because I saw that glory come on her. And then she started prophesying out of that with a lightning rod. And we're in these days of the forerunner crown. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Chuck,
as we were discussing all of this and in a picture of what the crown actually represents, and one of the things that he caught my attention was when he said that God goes with the crown. He goes with the glory. And immediately I just flashed back to how Moses inquired for the Lord to go with, but even before he inquired for him, he was already going with him as they came out of Egypt. And we know that because we see in the Old Testament, you see the fire by night and the cloud by day that always stayed over the tabernacle, symbolizing his presence there with them as they were going forth. And we also know that the Lord was also moving in Moses' life, because as in Moses' life, remember all the 10 plagues, all those 10 plagues were actually an insight into the future. We don't think about it like that. But in order, basically, the Lord was telling him, say this, because this is what's coming. He was given the 7 days of light. He was being given 7 days of life. We don't know exactly how many days. In some of those instances, it was the next day. But some of those instances, there were several days. So it may have been as many as 7 days. I haven't had time to study it out. But he was being given insight into what was yet to come. And all the children of Israel, because of that, were delivered from death. Because of that, because of the Passover, they were given instruction how to walk into the Passover. And all those plagues then led this children of Israel out into the desert. Here's the remarkable thing, is the Lord then also begins giving him the law. We don't think about that, but the law was a tremendous insight into the future. And not just even 7 days, but way into the future, because those laws are still being used today. And you think about it. If you've ever tried to write a computer program, or you've ever just tried to build a spreadsheet, or write a book, or do anything creative, how much time and effort does it take to just comprehend a small thing and project it out? But this was a whole system of laws that the Lord began to speak into his heart and began to release into his heart. And he released the light of what was to come for thousands of years. So we can see that the Lord was moving in Moses' life. He moved in the children of Israel's as they were going through. And he was establishing the impact of his glory right there in front of them. So much so that he would go out and they would actually go out and he would set up. Moses' tent would be outside the camp. Why? Because of the glory was on him. Because then they would go out, that all of Israel would line up and watch him go out. You can see those things in Exodus 33. Pastor already mentioned where he's inquiring for the Lord. And he's inquiring for the Lord to just be with him. That if I've found favor in thy sight, then be with me, and then remember also this nation, your people. It was necessary for his presence. The Lord, Moses understood that his presence has to go with. When his presence goes with the glory, there's nothing that's going to be in our way. That's what we're looking for. We're allowing the Lord to build this expectation in our heart, because as that expectation comes alive in us, now we can begin to come in alignment with what his ultimate plan is. There's something to allowing the glory to be a part and understanding that this glory is a part of the crown. His presence is part of the crown. That presence and that glory will begin to shape the world in front of you, and it will begin to show you what to do and what not to do. Sometimes it's important for us to see what not to do. In Numbers 14, at the end of Numbers 14, they had been in sin. Remember, they sent them in into the promised land, and only two came back with a good report, and the rest gave an evil report. And the whole camp began to believe the evil report. The whole camp except two and Moses believed something that was stepped into unbelief. But because they stepped into unbelief, then they were denied ultimately that chance to go in. And so we see at the end of Numbers 14, then they decided that, okay, we've sinned, and this morning, that was yesterday, this morning we come, we repent, and now we're going to go on where God said we were going to go. And Moses said, you can go, but the ark's staying here because I'm not putting it at risk. It's a military assignment. In other words, he told them, okay, you're going to go. The ark's got to stay here. I'm staying here. In other words, the glory's not going anywhere. The glory's staying right here. And so we know what happened. We know that when they went, they got routed. Everywhere they went, every enemy they tried to face, even though they were an indestructible force. Everywhere enemy they tried to face, when they went without the glory, they got routed, sent back with their tails between their legs. But we know from history, if you look at Joshua 2 real quick, because this kind of ties into what I was going into, what I went into Sunday. In Joshua 2, the men come into the city and they meet up with Rahab. Rahab is a prostitute who lives on the wall. And as they meet up with Rahab, then see, well, why did they do that? Well, number one, who better to go to actually have an access to what was going on in the city? Who better would know what was happening in the city? And who better to one where that would never even be thought about by somebody in the city watching the comings and goings? But here's what she had to say. Verse 9, he said, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and the terror of you has fallen on us, that all the inhabitants of the land melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And we heard of it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. And then she says, why? For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on the earth below. She's speaking about an event that happened 40 years before they're standing there. She's speaking, so in other words, the enemy, because the glory of God, the enemy had known and seen the glory of God coming and had been in fear for 40 years. Because the enemy could even see that the glory was coming. And when the glory was coming, there was no stopping it. There was no place, for it not to happen. Why? Because that glory is the sign that God is here. And when He's here, He is the God of heaven and earth. That's the impact that it had. Now notice that for 40 years, the children of Israel have been wandering around in this desert they were never supposed to be wandering around in. That should have been an 11-day journey at the most. So they're wandering around in the desert that were never supposed to be running around in simply because of their unbelief, not because of the power of the glory. Because we know when the glory shows up, the whole situation changes. So when the glory shows up at the city of Jericho, what happened to the city of Jericho? And all the walls come tumbling down. Why? Because now the glory is back on the move again. Why? Because the glory is moving with the children of God. The glory is moving with them and going forward them, in front of them, and creating the way. In the same way, we have the opportunity for it to move in front of us. That's what the crown, as we begin to hold on to the crown, as we begin to get a hold of what this is about, it's a getting a hold of what the glory can actually do and what it can begin to move on our behalf in every realm, in every dominion. This was physical lands that were being taken, and there can be physical lands that are taken. There can be kingdoms that are torn down. Simply in deliverance, sometimes kingdoms are torn down, but also in the natural, why not kingdoms being torn down? There's no reason that it can't happen. In the financial realm, then kingdoms can be torn down. In the areas of health and healing, then God can just tear entire systems of sickness and disease down. We don't have to be held back by those things. Why? Because it's the glory of God that has moved in with the crown. And when it moves in with the crown, that begins to change the order. And guess what? The enemy may be right now already fearing what you are. And you may not get a revelation of that for 40 years. I don't know. Hopefully it's next tomorrow. Hopefully it's the next day. Hopefully it's the day after. But if it's 40 years from now, know that an enemy may have been fearing you for all this time. Sometimes we look at opposition in our life as if we did something wrong, but a lot of times it's not what we did wrong. It's what we're doing right, because the opposition, because he has no reason to oppose somebody who isn't trying to move something somewhere. So know that sometimes even the opposition that you feel that has come around you is simply more evidence that what God is fixing to do in you and through you. Hallelujah. That's what we want. That's what we're looking for. We want to see where God is going with it. And interestingly enough to know also, remember we talked about Rahab welcomed him into the city. Rahab was the one who actually made this journey for the spies possible because she took and lied to the men of the city and sent them out. Okay, God uses liars and prostitutes. Okay? And it doesn't matter who you are, what you've been, God can use you because this woman stood in faith. She had a greater faith for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob than some of the people of Israel. And because of it, this woman, I looked it up, this woman, because of that great faith that she had, she gets not only a mention here in Joshua 2, she gets three mentions in the New Testament. She becomes part of the lineage of David. She's the great-great-grandmother of David, who becomes what? The great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother of Christ Jesus himself. So she's mentioned in Matthew for that. She's mentioned for her great faith in Hebrews 11:33. She's mentioned in James 2 because of her great faith. And she's mentioned in those places. Why? Because God is looking to use each and every one of us, and He wants to make it more than abundantly obvious that He doesn't care what happened in the past. He doesn't care who you may be or what your identity even may be today, but He's looking to see what your identity is going to be tomorrow. Hallelujah.
Before we leave, as He was speaking, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He said, Moses, you know, he was a king. And he was an apostle, and he was the priest. And the Spirit of the Lord said that wasn't in the greatest of his calling. He said the greatest of his calling, he was an intercessor in the midst of my glory. He stood as an intercessor in my glory. He turned whole nations. He turned God's mind around. He got God to stay with them when God didn't want to. He got God to do a lot of things that he didn't want to do. Moses, God wanted to wipe out that whole generation, and he stayed God's hand. Isn't that amazing? Because he stood in the glory, and that's who we are. As we're intercessors of the glory of God. Isn't that amazing? Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.